You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Of all the theological concepts in the Bible, one of the most difficult for us to grasp is the role of God's law in the life of the Christian who is living under the dispensation of grace. And that's why we're teaching on this almost every Sunday this whole year. That's why our theme is what it is. The title of today's message is God's Law, God's Love. God's Law and God's Love. Let me read a few scriptures here to start us off with just very quickly. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 and chapter 7 verse 6. The Christian is no longer under the old covenant law, but under the new covenant grace. Galatians 3:23. The law of Moses was only a temporary tutor or a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Okay, with those verses, we hear sermons telling us, do whatever your sinful flesh wants to do, live like you want to live, act like you want to act, because God loves you and He forgives you. So do whatever you want to do. Live like you want, God loves you, and He accepts your choice of lifestyles. Okay, well, let me read some more scriptures. Romans 7, verse 12, we know the law is holy, righteous, and good. James 1:25, if you look carefully into the perfect law and do what it says, then God will bless you for doing it. James 2:8, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law. James 2:14, what good is it if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? The church is the only source for biblical morality in a society. There's always a sinful, there's always a heathenistic. The devil is always pushing to push a society, a culture, or individuals away from godly living. And the church has always stood to hold back the moral decay of a society. Whether you necessarily went to church or you didn't go to church, or whether you were a part of this one or that one, whatever, that doesn't make any difference. What I'm telling you is the church in America has kept us, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. See, the church in America has infused America with biblical morality. And that's why it's vital for a church to provide for the young people and to draw the young people. That's why it's tragic to go to a church with no young people in it. You got to have young people because that's what we're doing. Infusing them with biblical thinking about how to live life. With so much of our church today saying, God is love, God accepts everybody, God accepts everybody's choice of lifestyle. You're free to choose your own gender. You're free to choose your definition of marriage. Vote to legalize whatever you want. See, when a Christian takes today a stand against sin, wow, the attack is unbelievable. I mean, when you just take a stand against sin on Facebook, I mean, you are inundated with attacks. How dare you to judge me? Who are you to call me? Who are you to call me out? God loves everybody. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? You know, people are filling churches today with no biblical moral compass of a holy life. That's why our entire theme this year is devoted to understanding the working together of God's law, God's love, in a holy generation of people. And when we are gone, those of us older in here, when we are gone, we have to ensure that the next generation understands godliness, knows a biblical morality. Well, Tim, I'm all right. I wasn't raised in church, and I know how to live. Yeah, but you had a grandmother that was, and she told you, don't do this and don't do that. Don't you? See, you don't realize it, but you had a grandmother that infused biblical morality in you. Maybe you didn't go to a church a day in your life growing up, but somebody somewhere, a granddad, an uncle, infused a sense of biblical morality into your nature. And without that, we are an animalistic society. And that's why it's important to us to draw in young people, because we believe that's the mandate of the church. Here's what happened, though. The church taught God's laws for living. People broke them. They were wrong. They lived in sin. They lived guilty. They lived afraid of getting caught. So the conclusion that the world came up with, let's do away with God's law. Let's do away with sin. Don't teach our kids sin. Then they won't grow up feeling guilty and feeling bad about it when they do. And the church conformed its message to the world and the culture. And so that's what we're hearing in church today. If we quit telling our children, this is wrong, this is sin, God is against this, this world is in trouble. In one generation, it's in trouble. You tell them it's okay, it's normal, and do what you feel like doing. God accepts you. Everybody is doing it. Let our schools pass out birth control in elementary and junior high. Don't say this is wrong or that is wrong. Teach them it's okay. Teach them it's normal. We will create a society that won't work. That will not work. When a society has no guilt, no sense of shame, no concept of wrong, we can't live together in peace. It won't work. It won't work. Now, we've been told, quit this damaging, outdated idea of teaching people on sin. The church has got to quit talking about it. You're running people off. You're offending people. You're making your big givers mad. Don't talk about sin. Here is the crisis of that. The reason we teach this is wrong, this activity is wrong, this choice is wrong, this behavior is wrong, the reason we teach that is because it produces destruction. That's why we teach that. See, quit telling our marriage is for one woman and one man for life. Tell them alternatives are all normal, fine, and okay. See, quit teaching the law of God and just teach that God loves them. And here's what we've got to see. When you do away with God's law that stands against sin, when you tell a generation this is natural, normal, okay, everybody feels it, AIDS will still kill you. You need to know that. Oh, just this choice, this is an alternative lifestyle and it's okay. Whether you say it's okay or not, AIDS will still kill you. That's what we're not getting a hold of. Here, let me tell you something. Unwed pregnancy for a young girl, 14, 15, 16, many of you have experienced this. You know exactly what I'm talking about in family, homes, and loved ones. When a 14, 15-year-old, 60-year-old gets pregnant, here's what happens. It robs her of the life that you could have had and enjoyed at 14 or 15. Now, whether you, that's wrong, don't tell them that's wrong. Well, when they do it, they're going to reap the consequences of that destruction in their own life. As people continue to do whatever they want, as people decide right and wrong for themselves, as people live with no inner moral constraint, then anger rules their life. Rage is in control of their life. No shame, no sense of worry. Therefore, we have mass shootings. That's what happens when a generation gets a hold of what we're telling them now. And here's what we got to see. Teach God's love without teaching God's law destroys both individuals as well as civilizations. The life in America that was produced by the moral, biblical teaching of the church is slipping away because the church is backing down from standing up. The church has always pushed back a moral decay from happening in society. The church has always stood against sin, stood against moral failure, and lifted up a godly standard for living. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This is where today's thinking on all of this is wrong. Sex outside of marriage, homosexual lifestyle, lying, stealing, cheating are not wrong because there is a law against it. They are wrong because they destroy lives, and that's why we have a law against it. So to do away with the Ten Commandments won't do away with the consequences of doing that. Our society cannot exist in peace if we remove the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm offended by the Ten Commandments. Take them down off of this public place. Take them down off of that public place. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. I'm offended by that. I want the Ten Commandments hanging everywhere I am. And if you're offended by that, go live in prison and let them do what they want to do to you. There's no Ten Commandments down there. Say, well, what are we thinking? I take the Ten Commandments out of society. No, our society won't work doing that. Whether you go to church or whether you don't go to church, you want the Ten Commandments hanging everywhere you are. You want them taught and infused into young people's lives. We can't buy enough home security systems to protect our homes. What we got to do is get every young person in this community, in this church, and let our leaders, Josh and Jason, let them infuse them with a biblical morality, and then we won't need home security systems. See, that's what we're doing in society. Now, I want you to get this. As we are now voting to legalize sin, this is easy for us to see. There is a law right now that prohibits you from driving your car on the sidewalk. You can't drive your car on the sidewalk. I personally feel that's confining to me. I personally believe who has the right to tell me where I can drive my car? This is my life. I paid for it. I didn't ask anybody to help me with this car, and I have the right to drive my car wherever I want to drive it. I don't want a mom telling me, I don't want a dad telling me, I don't want the pigs downtown telling me I can't drive my car. I want to vote to legalize driving my car down on the sidewalks. Well, if you get loud enough, you might pull that off, and you might get the Supreme Court to vote to legalize driving the car on the sidewalks. You might get Congress to vote to drive your car on the sidewalk. You may convince the majority of our state to vote that you drive your car on the sidewalk. Pedestrians will still be hurt, killed, and maimed. That's why we have that law. It's not to confine you, restrict you, keep you from having fun, infringe on your rights as an American. It is to protect the people that will be hurt and destroyed by you doing that. So if you can get our state for the majority to vote to legalize driving your car on the sidewalk, we are in trouble in this town. God's not ruining your chance of having fun. That's not the intention here. It won't work in America. It won't work in individuals' lives, and it won't work in an entire nation. Regardless of the majority vote, regardless of how you personally feel, cars won't work driving down the sidewalk. I'm hearing, and you are too, since Jesus came, he did away with the law so that now we're free to do whatever we want. I don't know how we missed this. I don't know how we've overlooked the sequence of events. But are you aware that God in the Old Testament revealed his plan in the New Testament? Is everybody aware of that? Are you aware that when God raised up Moses to deliver the children out of slavery, that is an example of our salvation? How many studied that, heard that, been told that? The deliverance out of Egypt was an example of our salvation. Okay, you read that in Exodus chapter 1 all the way through 15, 16. When was the Ten Commandments given? The Ten Commandments was given after salvation, not before it. And we're told today that now that Jesus has come and we've been delivered, then you're free to do whatever you want to do. We've missed the sequence of events in our blueprint. God loved you and he delivered you. Now let me teach you what to do. Now let me teach you don't do this and don't do that. And so to tell people, since Jesus has now come, there's no need for the law, you've missed reading the blueprint. Our salvation doesn't do away with God's law. It is the reason for God's law. The good news of the gospel, our salvation, leads us to instructions about how then we are to live. God's law is not bad. God's law is not negative. God's law does not need to be overturned. God's law is out of His love for us. The law says don't, not because God's trying to ruin your life. God's law says don't do that because He's trying to keep you from hurting yourself, costing yourself, destroying yourself. Young people, I want to talk to you in here just a minute. Our young people, I want you to think about this. Your parents go to bed at night. Why do they care? Why do they give a rip about what time you come home?
My parents always home me. I got to be in by 10 o'clock. I got a curfew.
I go to bed, turn out the lights. Why? I don't care if you stay out all night long. Why does your parents care if you come in? Only because they love you and know what happens after 10 or 11 o'clock on the streets. That's the only reason. It's out of their love for you that they are even remotely concerned about what time you come home at night. Young people, what do your parents care if you pass your test tomorrow or not? They got a good job. They drive a nice vehicle. They live in a nice house, and they got money in their pocket. None of those you have. Now, why do they care if you pass your test? If you pass your test or if you make a zero on your test, won't affect the money in my pocket, not one iota. There's only one reason that your parents care if you pass your test tomorrow, and that is because they love you. And they are aware of the life that's out there for those who don't have an education. And that's their only reason they're worried about your spelling words. Oh, all right, babe, let's work on our spelling. Why are you doing all that? I mean, why are you doing all that? I don't care about your dumb spelling words. Make an F and live on the street and eat out of the trash cans. I don't care about your dumb spelling words. Don't go through all of those antics with me. The only reason I'm remotely concerned about your spelling words is I am aware of the life that you will live without your education. You got to understand that. All of our young girls, let me just talk to you. Everybody else, y'all go back to daydreaming. Now's your time. Y'all text one another, whatever you've been doing while I'm talking. I'm just talking to the young girls, nobody else. What do your parents care if you fall in love with that thug? The fact that he has no job and he's not looking for a job. He has no career. He's got no future. He's not a godly young man.
And my parents, they will.
I don't care who you date. There's only one reason your parents care. There's only one reason they don't want you dating that guy. It's because they love you. And they're aware of where he is going and what life that will afford you. That their love for you is the only reason that they remotely care about who you're dating. Here's my point today. God's laws and God's love are completely and totally inseparable. And it can't be either or. His laws are only because of His love. Why would God care who you sleep with? It's what difference does it make to Him? He's not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to keep you from dying of some diseases. Everybody else, back to daydreaming. This is only the seniors in here. Everybody else, y'all do whatever it is you do when I'm preaching. Seniors, y'all listen up. Thank God you're graduating. You're getting out on your own. The day you have looked forward to your whole life. Now you just want to get out and live a little. Just live a little. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. God says, don't eat of this fruit here. God wasn't trying to keep mankind from pleasure or fun. And Eve, in chapter 3, verse 6, is just like our seniors in high school. She was convinced that God was withholding something good from her. She looked for herself, and it looked good. It looked fun. It looked appealing. And God must be trying to keep me from having any fun. So in verse 7, at that moment, and here's what I'm telling you, seniors, you get out and enjoy life, and in a week, I mean, at that moment, guilt, fear, shame, hiding, let me tell you what happens. You are banned from a life living in the garden. That's what it'll cost you. Whether your parents find out or not, I don't care if they find out or not. If you sneak around and keep it from them forever, you will lose a good life. God planned a good life and a good life for you living in his garden. But you get out and start doing what God says don't do, and you will lose the life of living in that garden. Your parents are not trying to keep you from having any fun. They're trying to keep you living life in the garden where God planned for you to live. Do away with God's law. Make it legal. Make it accepted. Let's vote. Let's vote to make drugs legal. Nobody has the right to tell somebody else what they can do. You know what helps sick people feel better? Young people, it's not an outdated law that's making it wrong to do. All of our young people, everybody 30 years old and under that's going to be voting on this in the coming elections from now on, I want you to think about this. Do you want your surgeon, as he is cutting you open and going to replace valves in your heart, do you want to kind of come to and look out one eye and see him puffing on a doobie? Is that what you want your surgeon doing? Just think about this.
I want it legal. Who's right? I don't have a right to tell.
You don't have a right to tell that man what he can do. He's about to do surgery on your cornea, in your eyeball, with a knife. You're about to drive across the bridge at the Arkansas River. All that steel that hangs down and holding that up. Do you want that guy up there welding those steel joints high? Is that what you want, to live in a society that wants every factory worker making your car, particularly making the brakes in your car and hooking those brake lines up? Do you want him high while he's hooking the brake lines up in your car? Is that what you want? Do you want a society where all the moms, all the dads, all the school teachers are high? Let me just tell you, when that dentist says, open your mouth, he gets that drill. Hold on just a minute, let me light me. Is that where you want to live? Before
everybody voting on it, you're old-fashioned. You can just get ready for it. It's going to be accepted here in Arkansas because it's getting accepted all over the world.
Do you want your dentist with that drill in his hand and a little deal in his other hand? See, a society of people, their head's not clear, their mind is not razor sharp, and the motivation to hustle has been sedated. Making it legal will still destroy this society. And it has nothing to do with the law. Young people, it's not wrong for you to stay out all night long and not study and not eat vegetables and eat ice cream all the time just because your parents are on you. It's wrong because it'll destroy you. That's why it's wrong. And out of that, your parents are chewing on you all the time. Your parents love you, and they don't want that to happen to you, and that's the only reason they care about what you do. Think about this as you're wanting to get out of the house. Let me just think about this. If your parents walk in today and say, Changing up. In this home, there are no more rights. There are no more wrongs. Everybody in this house do exactly what they want to do. Everybody in this house do what they feel like doing. Don't ever worry about closing the refrigerator door. Don't anybody do any more laundry. Anybody that gets milk, just leave it on the counter. Don't ever take out the trash. I'm not ever going to be on you about hauling the trash out. Everybody in this house is just going to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. The home won't work. With what you want your parents to do, get off of me, leave me alone, the home won't work if they get off of you. They're trying to infuse in you how to make a home operate and work. All of our high school students in here, I realize you are sick and tired of your parents. I get it. You're sick and tired of them. You're sick and tired of their rules. You're sick and tired of their laws. I get it. You're counting the days until you can get out and get your own apartment. You can't hardly wait to get your own apartment. As soon as you do, make sure, in your own apartment, leave the refrigerator door open all day. Don't ever put the top on the milk and put it back in the refrigerator. Just leave it sitting out. In your own apartment, don't ever do laundry again. Don't ever miss a day of fun and you stay home and vacuum the house or dust it. Don't ever do that in your own apartment. In your own apartment, don't ever spend another moment cleaning out the carport. Your dad always made you clean out the carport. Don't ever clean out the carport again. You go and have you some fun. It won't work. It just flat. Your parents are on you about the milk, not because they're on you about the milk. They know what happens when milk is left out, and it's not fun. In my home, Terry always wants me to taste it. Here, you taste this. Why do I have to be the one to taste it? I don't know what that really says about me or my worth to her. But I'm telling you, she don't ever grab the jug and go, oh, it's about a week outdated. Let me see if it's still good. She doesn't ever turn it up. Here, you see if this is still good. Young people, you see if it's still good. Just get out from under the law. Just get you a majority vote. Demand that the state vote that you can leave milk sit out on the cabinet and leave the top off of it. Just make it legal for you to do that. It will still ruin. It will still ruin. And half milk, half cottage cheese, hot, going down, ain't good. Today, we have a religion of love being taught, and we have a religion of law being taught. And either one of those is very unbiblical alone. Love is a command of the law. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you. Leviticus 19, 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. Law and love go together. Law and love go together. When you command somebody to love, you are commanding them with a law. You can't separate law and love. You're in a church today, or right now you're listening to a podcast that's not afraid to tell you God calls us to live our life obedient to His law. This church is not a church that has or will ever conform to this culture. This church is still teaching our teenagers sin is wrong, and it is wrong not because there's a law against it. It's wrong because it will destroy your life. Voting to make sin legal will not change the fact that it destroys your lives. Teenagers, today as you leave, I want you to know your parents love you and they don't want to see you hurt and destroyed. All of you adults, as you leave today, I want you to know God loves you and He doesn't want to see you out hurt and destroyed. It's not law or love, it's both. And that's the reason God requires from us a holy life. Y'all stand. Lord, today we're grateful that you didn't just create us and kick us out here to fend on our own, but you gave us directions for how to live our life. and specific directions on how to live a life that is blessed, that is happy, that is in peace, and that is prosperous. God direct and guide us as we live our life holy and pleasing to you.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.